I want us to study what we take for granted. I want to study why we do minions. And I want to study some implications of it, okay?
Why we like animals?
Why? I don't even remember if we've ever studied it. Why? What do you guys know about minions?
The map that eats Passover. The synagogue.
Do you all know what the legal definition of a quorum is?
A legal definition?
Hold on. Two-thirds
of those majority presents. Of those present.
Majority of those present.
A quorum is a legal number that has been in extant since the beginning of human relations, in which it was the legal number necessary to accomplish stuff. In our bylaws, it's the legal number that's required so that votes can be taken, so that action can be taken within. According to the Judaic law, a quorum was the legal number or the legal amount of people that were necessary in order for the following things to be done. In order that the 18 blessings, the Amidah, could be said. In order that the Torah could be read, the Torah reading. In order that the Haftorah reading could be accomplished. In order that there could be benedictions. In order that there could be a Kaddish said.
Kaddish.
In order that there could be the comfort of the mourners. In order that there could be a marriage, because it could not be a marriage unless the marriage, seven marriage blessings were said. In order that there could be, in order that they could drink the cup of sanctification, and in order that anathema or haram could be pronounced. Now, the Talmud derives that number from a bunch of places within the scripture. It derives the number from the minimum number that could eat the Passover lamb. It derives the number from the minimum number of the captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of ten, when Moses divided the camp.
How do you write that down?
Huh?
Number of captains.
Number of captains.
Captains of the minimum number of people. And it is derived from the term Edah, E-D-A-H, which is in Numbers 14:27. Let's go there.
Numbers
14. Well, let's start in 14:20. And the Lord God said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow I'll turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Now, the word congregation there is the word Edah, E-D-A-H in the Hebrew, and it means community. In all other places, it's translated as a community. And the 10 spies were the evil community because they rejected faith and saw after the seeing of their eyes when they went into the promise and saw nothing but giants that they couldn't take care of. Okay? So the Talmud, now let's go to Ruth chapter 4. 10 men make constitute a congregation. 10 in Judaism, 10 men at rest constitute a quorum, constitute a community. You got it? Ruth 4.
What was rest for them, knowing their home?
Mm-hmm. I bet you it takes that many to have a safe gene pool and all kinds of stuff.
The fourth chapter of Ruth. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. That is the basis also for this definition. Does anybody, let's go to Exodus and see if we can find the captains of thousands and all that.
Yeah,
I forgot what it was.
Is that the suggestion of?
Yeah, it was the Canaanite.
Is Minyan Y-A-N?
M-I-N-Y-A-N. Or Y, I mean, it's not a translation, it's a transliteration. So it's M-Y. It's pronounced M-I-N-Y-A-N, Y-O-N.
So sometimes you give us a pop quiz like you do every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I'm about to do another one.
If we write it one way or the other, it'll be okay.
I don't think it's an Exodus, though. I think it's like the numbers are good around.
Captain of thousands. Captains. Where's that super duper Bible of Larry's?
No, it didn't show that one.
Captains?
No, I don't have much of that.
Thousands?
No.
Hundreds? Look up notary.
How come we don't have a strong suit here?
Well, if we were really a Bible study, we would. I think John would have a, yeah.
And Numbers is all about the Levites.
It's a pretty good book.
The Kenites were the first notaries.
A little known
story. Let's look it up under the name of Moses'.
Which was?
Righteous.
Jethro.
I might. I might pause the tape here for a minute. Jethro.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Jethro Pugh voted in our precinct.
Jethro Tull voted.
You don't have a precinct.
The precinct of Satan.
I'm trying Exodus 18.
That's it. I remember. If it's in the right page, the right place, there it is. Exodus 18, verse 23, If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but the small matters they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Now the other one is, we might as well, since we're in Exodus, go over Exodus 12. Verse 3, And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Okay?
There's also the one in Genesis where God is on the way to, or the angels are on their way to
yeah.
Sodom.
Sodom.
Should be 10.
Yeah.
Where's that? Where's the 10?
3. In where? It doesn't mention 10, but it's they have just said the number to eat the lamb is 10. Mm. You see? Exodus 18, verse what?
It says that in there.
25. In other words, the tradition is that 10 is the number to eat the lamb.
Yeah. Yes, that's tradition by the Talmud. All of these others are, of course, I mean, they're the witnesses of it for the law.
Probably back from this other one.
Right.
Probably.
Okay. Now, okay, let's go to Genesis 18. Well, it's chapter 18, 22 through 33. But just started 32, and he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will yet speak but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. It's the minimum number upon which you wouldn't destroy. Do you understand? Now,
what was that, Genesis?
This 18, 22 to 33.
Okay.
The question then is, well, what do you do if there are less than 10 at rest?
Well, you join up to the house nearest you.
Or what do you do if there you somehow have to do something about it? You have to either gain the converts, or you have to join up, or you have to go to where there is that. You understand? There's a thousand years of tradition here that is fairly well grounded in the Word, that modern Christianity is totally ignored. Now let's we got some more. To go here.
Are there limits?
20.
But I mean, other than the 20.
No.
You know. That's,
but where's that? Or is that the tradition?
That's the number that can eat the Passover. Okay. Now, the Talmud. Let's go in Psalm 82, verse 1. It says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. What it says in the Hebrew, and the reason you can see why they didn't use it this way when the King James, because it says, God standeth in the congregation of God. And the word there for congregation is Edah. So the Talmud explains that the ten at rest is where God is standing in the midst. Okay? Now again, remember, we're talking about this as a quorum to perform things. You know, they've always believed that God, that where two or three are gathered, that's even in the Old Testament. But that's for the purposes of prayer. The ten are for the purposes of the things that we said. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
When God, let's go to Isaiah 50. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away, or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, there was no man, and when I called, there was none to answer. Now, when God comes to a synagogue and does not find a minion, there he is angry, as it is written, wherefore when I came there was no man. That's the reading of that from the Beersheba book of the Talmud. Now 10 adult males, again we're talking about in Judaism, 10 adult males at rest constitute a quorum in any place they are. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter if it's a building or no building, it doesn't matter if it's a field or no field, wherever the 10 are, there the community is. There is the quorum. You got it? So it doesn't matter about places. Now, Jesus, obviously, had 12 disciples as the size of his church. That's his community, his minion. Now, in the New Testament, Christ has redefined something. Christ has redefined this thing about males. He says, in a sense, in the old time, the male was a picture of me. Now, there is neither male nor female. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither Greek nor Jew. There is only vessels at rest. Now, for us, a person is said to be at rest if they have been baptized and have made the ascet time. That is the best that we know how to do with regard to this question. How do you define at restness? There's no other way that I know that we can do that. Again, you can obviously tell I'm leading up to something. What I'm leading up to, I'm not going to say that we should abolish the Bible study groups, but what I am saying is that we should reverse it. And that is that the Bible study groups should meet once a week, and the Seder group should meet twice a week. And I want you to think about it. I'm not going to force this on you, but I want you to think about it. I want you to produce your strong reasons if you have something that can overcome this.
What do you hope? Well,
my hope is that there will be. Well, my hope is that we will do what we're supposed to do. My hope is that we will then, because of the sense of community, the Ida in the Seder or the Minyan, that then the Minyan will reproduce itself. The Bible study groups haven't reproduced themselves. The Minyan can, I think. Now, obviously for Glary and for Doug, it's not too good a news. Maybe it's probably not too good a news for anybody. But my response to you would be then hurry up and gain some converts. I think that we have made a mistake. We have violated our own stuff. When we split and there was 10 in each group. And that was the reason we did that is because of this. That was the 10 we didn't do. We were a little sloppy on whether they were at rest or not. In fact, we were a lot sloppy as to whether or not they were at rest. But for us, we have the only way we have of defining at rest is if they have made the ascet time. Talk to me. So what I'm saying is that the Bible studies would meet once a week.
Why even meet? As you know, like that.
Well, because that's again this way they did. They met twice a week for the Torah readings. The only way I know to do is to try to duplicate what was done at the time of Christ.
They met twice a week for Torah readings.
Mondays and Thursdays.
What did they do on
the Sabbath?
On Sabbath was.
And the Sabbath was.
Family.
It was a whole different thing. I mean, it was a different.
So.
I don't want to.
I'm not that excited about it, but you know.
My group.
Just have to think about it.
What?
No. What? I was thinking like on the third night we could have evangelism training. I can pull out some of them.
Outreach?
Yeah, outreach.
Well. Again, I don't want us to. I want you to spend some time thinking about it. I'm not going to force anything on anybody. All I know is this: that spiritually, whenever there's a problem, you move towards the Minyan. naturally, whenever there's a problem, you move towards yourself. You move towards isolation. And that's why, spiritually, or in the world, all philosophies and modes of thinking and interpersonal belief systems, at the core, they have as their basis success in isolation. I mean, success as to be successful alone. Well, we can't tolerate. We must always move towards the minion, and then move towards the bigger group, and then move towards the universal group, as opposed to moving away towards individual, towards separateness. That I know. I mean, how we accomplish that is, you know, anybody else? I mean, again, I want you to look at it from the standpoint of I guess what I want to say is I want you to spend as much time refuting this as I spent studying this. If you want to be in something else.
You know, the churches that Paul formed, they
were synagogues, mostly.
They were synagogues.
They were already extant.
But basically that's all he did was get together minions plus five.
Yeah, they were all meeting at home. They were all in the houses. They would go, they'd reach a new point, they'd split. And that's the way of the duplication. That was the...
So as far as we understand or believe... there's no reason it ever should have not continued in that fashion.
That's right. The only reason it didn't, well, we know why it didn't in the West. It stopped in the West in AD 135 when Hadrian punished the Jewish and the Christians, because up until the time they met together a lot. Hadrian saw them as one entity. He saw Christianity as just an offshoot of Judaism. They forbid anything Jewish in the Roman Empire. They forbid the study of Torah. They forbid meeting on the Sabbath. They forbid the celebration of the Jewish feasts. They forbid all of this stuff. And that's when Christianity moved away from Judaism and became something different. They cut the roots off. I don't want to... you know, my prayer is that there'd be 10, 15, 20, 30, 100 minions. Again, I don't want anybody to think of this as a slap. I want you to think of it as an exhortation to increase.
Well, you know, as I was sitting here thinking about it, this emphasis on the Holy Spirit that we've been doing has made me think about the, you know,
well, that's the other.
All the gifts of the Spirit working may only operate in that.
That's
kind of a,
yeah. Let me. That was the next subject.
Might be a loose deal.
The reason for, and again, in fact, that's exactly what brought this up. If you read in 1 Corinthians 12, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit listed. Discounting the teacher or the bima, which is the place of the word being spoken, then the 9 are the other members of the minion. So that there would be the 9 gifts operating plus the speaker, or the bima, at every meeting of the minion. That's the goal, that's the intent, so that every member would fulfill his office. And again, I don't think it's an accident there are 9 gifts, they're not 10. There are 9 because the assumption is that the gifts wouldn't operate by whoever was the preacher. Or they would operate from the members. So that's the other reason for the constitute a minion. Now, I've spent a lot of time studying this. I've been studying this for, I'm not saying you should study it this long before you have a response, obviously, but I'm saying that I would ask of you more than just a feeling. Okay? Anybody else? Judy?
I know we have the opportunity to have a minion here, and you know, when we were first starting out, until we got up to 10, we didn't have the opportunity, and we still study. And just some things I'm thinking about are these crossover points, like you're at 10 people, but then somebody leaves, or you know, not that's a kind of a silly question, but. If there's something really mystical about it,
you have to wait until you're 22 so that you make sure.
Yeah.
Well, the asset tithe.
Asset tithe is the thing that separates the chaff from the wheat, if it's done right.
You know, you talk about bananas having too many people with 16 people. You know, we have 16 people when we sit down at a study group to wait until we get at it. You know, everybody's made an asset tithe to wait until we get to 25 people. I just can't imagine 25 people sitting down, you know, and having a Bible study and being able to relate to each other like we've talked about laying down our lives for one another. That's a lot of people. 25 is a lot of people.
Just think of how, think of that in relationship to like to the First Baptist Church. It was 20,000 people.
Well, I think it's just because of our experience. We have never had, in stealth when it was, you know, the only time we've had that many people maybe is on
we had it for a lot. Midwood. No, we had it for a long time. We had too many people. That's when we split.
25 people.
We had more than 25. We had 40 people.
Split bananas and stealth,
are
you saying?
Back in Wentworth.
When we all, every Sunday we all got together.
Well, yeah, no, on Sundays we did. Regular Bible study.
No, before we split the Bible study groups, before the hands were laid on the teachers, there were 40, 45, 47 people coming to Bible study. Not necessarily.
You know, I feel like, you know, if that gets to the place, that's just kind of forecasting of what might take place. I'm kind of ready for something different to take place.
Here's what I believe. I believe that we must be more than anything now guided and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. As I study these things, and as I look and see, this is what makes the most sense. This is what makes the most looks. I mean, it's the way in which it was done. I know that this is the way it was done in the first century. I know that this is the model for how that small of a group turned the world upside down. Now, again, I don't think that you're ever going to have to worry. If my instincts are right about having 25 people, and I think you're going to have to worry about discipling real quickly. Yeah. You understand? I don't think that you're going to be given the luxury of having that many people for more than one or two Sundays. Something else will split. It'll split. It's the mitosis of the spiritual body.
One thing that I've wanted to see, you know, on Sundays and stuff is, and we, you know, we talked about it off and on, is the idea of, you know, worship and everything and singing and, you know, the just praising God kind of stuff.
Amen.
And I know on Sundays when we get together, Beth says this a lot. You know, she feels uncomfortable. You know, I guess other people maybe do too, because we're not used to being together. Maybe that will do something. You know?
What?
I mean, well, I'm thinking about, you know, like getting to a place where usually what happens is we're so busy dealing with stuff, you know, right up to the point of people walking through the door, you know, that you're not even thinking about, you know, praising God or anything. Everybody's still kind of churning and stuff. It'd be nice to get it all over with, like on Thursday night, whatever it is that we're dealing with, and Sunday we could just, you know, go into a praise God kind of. I don't know. It's just something from my mind.
I suppose that, what was that more or less the format that then took place back then, that they had their minions around and they would get together at one time on during the week, like we do?
That's the Agape Feast. And the model was the Agape Feast never had more than 100 people in it, according to some of the ancient texts, because then it was another captain of 50. It was, yeah. So then the Agape Feast would be limited by its size.
Our Agape Feast would be limited by our living room.
Well, I think it's about 850 is its maximum. Huh?
We'll have to pray for another living room.
But here's my observation as I look over the last 2 or 3 years, is there's been effectively no change in the body. There's been attrition. And there's several people now in each group that haven't made the asset time. And they haven't been faced with that. I feel that I feel that there is a mystical thing in this minion. And I think this is our role model. This is what we intended when we split into the five groups. But we didn't have people at rest then because, yeah, I mean, the groups were phony because they were just names on a piece of paper rather than people who had made an asset time. You guys seem, what's going on?
You know, I've lost a group probably more times than anybody. And part of me says, I would just as soon be without a group at all and just see what happens rather than go through something like this again. You know, and if God provides and brings about a body, then he forms a body. And then, because it's just, you know,
I don't understand why you're saying you're losing a group.
Well, it's like if you had to start meeting with Gary's group and you're under him and you teach no more hardly. You're no longer the teacher and you're just kind of there, but basically they're the leaders. It's a total different thing than when you are.
You know,
it really is. It may not seem like it, but it really doesn't. It's different. You can't really have four people in there. It gets too chaotic. It gets too hard on the people. If four people are, you know, interjecting and saying stuff, and it gets kind of...
There's just a different, different dynamic. And I don't disagree that maybe this is what needs to happen. You know, I don't have necessarily a rejection of the idea of the necessity for 10. You know, because there's something in me, you know, there's some rings true about it. You know, it just tears me. But, you know, that may not be the worst thing.
And I have a feeling that it will take long. Split. I mean, it's like the ingredient, there's been a missing ingredient for growth and something, so you put two things together to complement each other. I think it'll bloom.
What? That may be, I don't know.
Well, and also within the dynamic of the situation, I mean, it would be to you, you and Pam talk to John and do a Santa. You know, I mean, it's like it's...
John doesn't like to not teach. That's fact. You know, I mean, that's understandable. And that's, you know, you said that in the past.
Yeah, well, that was before I started teaching school and then all kinds of other things. You know, I might...
Well, again,
I don't want to be in a trade-off situation. That's like being an assistant pastor. I've done that too.
I know.
You know, I've been an assistant pastor, and you know, there's no place for it. There's no.
Just as I'm thinking more about this idea of a rationale behind why this is happening, maybe is to free the Holy Spirit to do stuff in there differently from what we've done before at all. You know, that different happening. As I'm thinking about this, than just a bigger version of my Bible study. If that's the case, then there's no reason to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't need a bigger version of my Bible study. You know, my Bible study is something. You know, in other words, if God doesn't do something different, then we might as well not do it. You know, and if we don't see anything taking place, then I'm sure we will reevaluate it. I mean, I'd want to. I've just been thinking lately more about this idea of the gifts of the Spirit and wanting to see something happen, and you know, thinking about you all being in there as part of something, you know, is good to me. I mean, I like that.
Well,
is what I'm saying.
Again, there's the reason that if you look in the office, the idea of a pastor / teacher, that's what I'm seeing is the if we continue meeting 3 days a week, that there's 2 days that you meet in the menu, and there's 1 day you meet as Bible study groups. I mean, I don't see this as taking anything away from anybody.
I don't know. I guess it's like laboring somebody else's field, or
yeah, but that's,
plowing somebody else's field. And I don't know. Oh, that just
okay.
You know,
well, hear me. Let's look at it. Let's look at this realistically. If you want to talk about plowing in somebody else's field, then you have to see that you've got to make your own converts then. I mean, they have to come to you based on something, based on the Holy Spirit's saying and declaring, now is the time. I mean, do you hear me? I mean,
I understand. That's why there may need just be a void there. You know, I just have no, you know, at this point, compunction to want to, you know, and not out of bitterness toward what you're saying. You know, it just, it's a difficult, I don't know, you know, it's hard to get a grasp on it anyway. And I don't feel particularly ripped off or anything like that. I mean, it just... This may need to be what happens.
Well, I think we just need to think about it for a while. Let, you know, let it percolate.
Yeah, why don't you...
Wait a minute. I got something. It's funny to me because John's response is one, you know, let's find out, let's see. And he's the head of the Seder group, so naturally that might be the way he feels. I feel the exact same way. Hey, I'm the head of the Seder group. Doug feels a little... because I get to say all the stuff if I want to, and he can't say anything he wants to unless I kindly, you know. And Judy, she likes small groups a little bit better. It's a little more family comfortable. Man. But for whatever reason, I've got the same agreement that I feel with John.
I feel a division sometimes too, because there's Doug's people and our people. But I don't like to see that, you know, and we've talked about it, and we've hashed it over, tried to, you know, bring up anything that, that would cause division among us, and I think it's fairly on the way to that. But I guess I'm in the same place of the desire of the Holy Spirit to do as He wills, to give Him a chance, so to speak, of what may be. But in these small groups, it can't be. And our group has been small, your group's very small, you're not quite enough, so even though it's kind of comfortable in these little groups, and some of the silent people don't get to talk, I think they can be worked with or whatever. Being like, aware of that problem, we can get out there.
It's like on the face of it, you think that the people who are quiet would have, you know, more opportunity to hide in the larger group. On the other hand, there are more people to point out the fact that they're hiding.
If the gifts are operating, that's what has to happen.
Yeah.
If it's just a dead group, who cares?
It's too
why
comfortable
me?
In a small group. You know, that's, I feel like it's easier to get away with something there. There aren't any fresh faces saying, hey, what's going on with you? I haven't seen you for a while. You know, it's like you come and you plop down and just do the same bullshit every night. Conversationally.
Yeah, one thing about Joe Bob's calling about the pull-top love connection.
Right. Chained together.
Yeah, I mean, people that were forced to live together and then, you know, years later choosing to marry.
They get married.
And like, I mean,
don't you ever quote Joe Bob and always wife is saying?
No, sorry, perfect. So I agree, it's too comfortable in small groups. And I mean, I go to the big groups and I'll usually have a feeling of anxiety.
That's good.
Yeah, I'd rather have it.
Well, we're not talking about there's like two more people needed and the Duncan Buckner, there's five more people. Wait a minute. I mean, before a split can occur. I mean, we're not talking, I'm not talking, and by the way, I mean, let me speculate a minute. Forgive me for talking like a fool, but let's assume, I mean, my God, there's 138 million people are going to hear some of the doctrine tomorrow night. There apparently is an opening to, from Harry's response as he's talked to these people, there's more and more of an opening to talk to more and more people. My desire is like what happened with Vic, is like, the moment there comes somebody in, they go under the covering. I mean, they go immediately so that they're not tainted by me. I don't want anybody tainted by me. So that the discipling can begin at the beginning. I don't see this as a.
All we need for another 13.8 people is 1/100,000 of 1%. 1/100,000 of 1% would be another 13.8 people.
To respond to.
You sure you got the decimal place in the right place?
I
think it's 1/10, 1/1.
Call Tom.
10,000.
We need a number.
10,000. No, it's 100,000. I don't have it notarized, but I can.
You.
He should do it.
I can get that done before it's recorded. I'm going to do it on our
books.
Well, I mean, I'm not looking forward to doing this if there's not. I'm not looking forward to having an upset Larry. I can tell you that. It's got my negative vote. Just don't do it.
Think about it, and I'd like you to see it in the context, I mean, all of the stuff, the scriptural and the tradition, but see it in the context of the Holy Spirit. Read 1 Corinthians 12, look at the 9 gifts, see if there's any merit to what I said about that. I just believe that it's time for a new thing. And this was, this isn't anything new to us, this is what we started at. When the hands were laid on all the Bible study teachers, we just didn't have the idea of who was at rest. We didn't have the asset time. But again, I promise you that we're not going to force this. I'm not going to force this on anybody. It's not.
I'm you know, the amendment, I'm not saying this isn't the way it's supposed to happen. And I despise the idea of taking a vote on doing anything like this. You know, that's the least attractive thing to me.
The idea of, we're not taking a vote, but what we're doing is we're waiting until there's an agreement.
I think this might involve, you know, the whole idea of like some one person even in charge of a minion. I don't know what that, you know, we may have to rethink that.
Well, I need to,
you know, like a couple of elders.
I need to sit down. What we need to do then, what I'll do next week is sit down and go through the offices in that synagogue, in that Ida, in that, remember, I've done that before, but it was many years ago. We'll go through the officers in that Iba. I think what you'll find, if we're all open to it, is we'll find destiny. We'll find what you were built for, what you are created to be something. And it's manifest in these offices. I think you ought to, we're going to send him to notary school. Let Bob go with him. But that's what I'll do next Wednesday then, I'm going to teach on the offices in the Edar, in the synagogue, in the rest, in the minion. The offices in the minion.
They correspond to the gifts.
Sort of. Yeah, they really do. Okay? But we're, again, nothing's going to be done unless there's 100% agreement from the heart. Nobody's going to think any. If you're the one that says we shouldn't do it, then by God, we shouldn't do it.
Like I said, it may be that, it may be the thing needs to be done. I just don't know that that's a place that I can sit.
Well, hear me. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying.
You may redefine.
I may be content to sit empty. You know, and I like to teach. I like to teach, you know, and.
Okay? Well, I don't want to teach anymore.
Thank you.
Take it, big guy.